good morning to you this morning. It is about, 9 minutes past 11, and we bring you the last and final hour of Power Talk this morning. We will be chatting to the program manager for Productive Cities, ASA Cities Network. My guest is Khumutso Tulamo, and we're talking on a how-to guide on running effective expanded public works programs. Hey, man, EPWP, as you would know, it used to be the PWP, Public Works Programs, and then inherited the expanded part over the years. And it's really been a very contentious program, really. And of course, from EPWP, we saw CWP, Community Workers Program, where abanye in some communities, where they say people get to work a few hours and then you find them sleeping on the grass next to a church or a school or along where they were working. Well, this report by, you know, Cities Network spans that period of the four phases of the project from 2004 to 2024. And yes, they say the EPWP has experienced a number of implementation challenges, including underperformance, poor or incomplete reporting, non-compliance, lack of institutional capacity, and demands from participants for permanent employment. And of course, the idea, anyway, I'll let my guest tell you what the idea was meant to be around this project. But really, I don't think there is clear understanding of the true benefits of the project and skills transfer and integration of people into different workplaces. Khumutso, good morning. Welcome to Power Talk.
Hi, Lukona. How are you?
I'm well. How are you this morning?
I'm great, thank you.
I mean, a how-to guide on running effective expanded public works programs. I've done a bit of intro there, but let's probably unpack a little, Khumutso, what you know, this program is all about.
Great, thanks, Lukona, and thank you so much for having us on your show today. We appreciate this opportunity. So, as you mentioned, the South African Cities Network is a network of cities. It comprises some of the biggest metros in the country. So this research report that you're speaking about is an output of something that the Cities Network hosts in collaboration with the National Department of Public Works. We call it the EPWP Reference Group. And from that, each year we sort of decide on a research, an item to investigate a bit further. So the challenges that you just spoke to a second ago are all things that were highlighted by the city practitioners who implement EPWP projects. Mm. And the aim of this was to... the big question it was asking is that what are the challenges that we're facing as implementers of EPWP programs, and what can we use as a resource to ensure more efficient and impactful implementation of the EPWP program itself in our respective municipalities. So that's just the high level of it.
Let's say, what was the grand vision of EPWP? So if we were to say, you know, this has been now in existence almost 20 years, what was the grand vision, that if we were to put that grand vision and develop a matrix for it, would be able to tick and say in 20 years, these plus so many millions of people have gone through different EPWP programs, this is what they should have acquired, this is where their life chances should be now, this is where their social and economic mobility should be. What would have been that grand plan as part of solving something in our society?
Great. You know, Lukona, I appreciate how you also highlighted the transition between the EP, how it changed from the public works to expanded and so forth. So the objective with public employment programs overall, as you know, is to provide unemployed individuals with temporary work opportunities. And these are meant to, a public employment program is meant to act as a launch pad right? So a launch pad into either more permanent employment opportunities or skills development so that one is able to participate in self-employment or start a small or medium enterprise. So those would be, so in addition to that temporary income relief, we should also be measuring whether individuals have been capacitated to actually independently participate, either to independently participate in the economy in one way or another, and then generate an income for themselves. So, and so that's the broad overarching vision. And with outputs such as this how-to guide, it's with the realization that if we don't resolve the mechanics and the bottlenecks, then it impacts how we're able to actually, or how implementers are able to implement EPWP projects on the ground. So I'd also just like to highlight that this how-to guide in itself, although it speaks directly to the EPWP program, I think would be very informative as well to other public employment programs, such as the presidential stimulus that's...
which has the teacher assistance as part of that for youth employment.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because, we all know that it's at local governments that these things are implemented. And if this comes as an output of local government practitioners themselves saying, these are the challenges that we have experienced, this is where we see that there could be improvements. So we definitely think that it will also be beneficial to other types of public employment programs.
Now, Khumutso, at some point it appeared that, you know, the management of these EPWP, initiatives slowly got, you know, decentralized to municipalities. But but we know that much of it started off in the infrastructure sector, where construction companies would be mandated to have X number of EPWP, and that was meant to really be a skills transfer, so young people would get into a construction company where a bridge or a dam is being built. And I had thought at some point this was meant to also come with a level of skills acquisition in the workplace, sort of certification, so that you say this young person has really received or this unemployed person has received this kind of training, definitely competent in a workplace environment. But what ended up happening was that most of the construction companies would utilize EPWP people as, you know, for digging, for example, or what we call in construction Daka Boy, which is a derogatory term, but it really talks to people who mix concrete and all of these things and pass it on to the bricklayer or the carpenter and so on. I'm sure you've looked at this in your work. Have we reached that stage where we can say things have changed and EPWP is actually being used for a much more empowering, you know, purpose, for lack of a better term?
I definitely think so. I definitely, not just think, but I definitely think this is the case. And also, channeling my previous life working on construction sites, it was definitely something that was well incorporated within the program itself. The question was, as you positioned it, how do we ensure that individuals are more empowered after exiting an EPWP program? Of course, there are challenges as it relates to, training programs also require budgets, and those budgets ideally need to be embedded within a construction process. So definitely there would be challenges, but the objective does remain the same, to say that individuals should be empowered as once they've exited an EPW program and should have that certification. I will also speak to all the construction sites that I worked on in my previous life. Definitely where they had EPWP projects, or components did draw in that level of certification. So an individual definitely walked out of there certified in one trade or another because of having participated in an EPWP program. I will also add that another element is that there is increasing focus on the exit strategies and not just required from a contractor, for example, but holistically thinking and engaging as a reference group, what type of exit strategies could we also start embedding into EPWP programs so that there is a clear pathway from entry to exit for what an individual's prospects might be once they've participated in this.
Well, people of power, my guest is Khumotso Tulamo, and we are chatting about, you know, their report, how to guide in terms of implementing the expanded public works program. Of course, she is with the South African Cities Network, and we are, you know, unpacking this report, also getting to, you know, what was the grand vision. We're almost 20 years into this project now. Of course, some of you will remember various complaints coming, especially from the city of Tshwane, where people would say, well, we were in the EPWP program. If it's not a problem of not being paid, it's a problem of not really doing much work. You are placed in a job and you can actually stay at home. I'll talk to you about that, Khumotso, after a short break, because I've heard stories. People say, well, I mean, I'm just drawing a stipend.